Today, I've declared today is Vision Sunday, and I'm going to share some vision with you today and some things that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, as well as just some practical things that have been happening and that will be happening for our church. But as I begin, I want to recognize that most of the time in leadership materials or church leadership material, when you do something like a Vision Sunday, when you speak about vision, it's usually in the context of things like a vision statement, creating a specific set of words and phrases and stuff that we can all rally around. And there will be a day when I speak of our mission, vision, and values and statements, but I don't feel that today. And in fact, if you want to hear my heart for the vision of our church, I'll summarize it very briefly for the general aspect, but I preached about it already. If you want to go back and refer to my message entitled Many Generations, One Message. And to sum up that, there's really three things that I feel like is a vision for our church in that way, and I would say it like this. Number one is our identity to be found in Jesus Christ. Our identity to be rooted and found in Jesus Christ, and that would influence every part of our life. And number two, because our identity is found in Christ, we can have unity through Jesus Christ. Everything that we hope to do in our church and in this city has to flow from the unity of the body. And as we heard Friday night, it's a new day, and we have to trust in God. And finally, the end result of apostolic identity being rooted in Jesus Christ and unity together in the body, what will happen because of that is apostolic revival. And we are experiencing that now. God is sending us a revival of souls. And those three things are embedded in my spirit so deeply. But today I want to speak to really what I would call the vision that I have today is really a perspective shift of sorts, and also just some very practical things that are happening for the future of our church. And if you want to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. And this is a very common place in Scripture that we would look to. And in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." New Living Translation says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see." The Amplified Version says this, "Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses." You can be seated today. Faith, the thing that we would probably all claim to have a good understanding about, Hebrews 11, 1, a verse that no doubt we could all recite, a topic that would almost be considered commonplace in a church context. So why would that be the object of today's message? Well, I want to challenge you today to think with me, to pray with me, to dream with me, to imagine with me, to have faith with me for some things that God has placed in my spirit and is already doing in our church. But to do this, I think we need to understand what kind of faith I'm talking about, because when we say faith, unfortunately, it is so common that sometimes we reduce faith, this idea of I have faith, and this idea of it being a common household word of, well, just have faith, or I've got faith. But when I look at Hebrews chapter 11, although verse 1 is one we're familiar with, when you get past the surface of the first verse, there's some amazing things that are spoken about. And I want to talk about something that our human mind that sometimes can stand in direct opposition to faith, in direct contrast to faith, and the kind of faith that I believe Hebrews 11 speaks about. What is this thing that I'm talking about that comes against our faith? This thing, this undeniable force that presses its way into our mind at every turn. This reality of the human condition that paints everything that we perceive. Its influences in every facet of our lives. And what is this force? In a word, I would say reason. Reason. Reasoning. What's reasonable? Reason, a sufficient ground of explanation or logical defense of something. In our human mind, we desire for things to be reasonable. We would probably all agree with that. We also will place things in one of two categories, reasonable and unreasonable. Things that have reason and things that have no reason. We judge things based on this idea of reason, or is this unreasonable? Is this something I should do? Do I believe this to be true? And if there's a question that doesn't have an immediate right or wrong answer, sometimes we will default to the next level of reasoning in that process of reason. We want things to have reason, to make sense, to be rational, to be perceivable, to be understandable. And as I stand here today as your pastor, I have prayed for direction from the Lord. I have sought his vision, his mind, his heart. I would love to be able to present something today that is perfectly reasonable. But I just don't know that I can do that. I wish that I could just something that we could all say, ah, yes, that's so reasonable. But today my spirit is stirred. And the Lord has been speaking to me. And I've looked at this chapter in the book of Hebrews. And I say, God, I want to have faith like the people that are referenced here. But in the same breath, I am guilty of asking God to make things perfectly reasonable. Somewhere in my own mind, I have placed faith in contrast to reason. Well, since we can't see God, since there are things I don't know, but I want to have faith, I guess faith must be unreasonable. Many times we want to put faith and reason at odds, or even worse, we want to put our faith in reason. We've seen this before. Eve in the garden tried to use her own mind and human reasoning to look at the word of God in Genesis chapter 3 to a disastrous end. Reason should not be the object of our faith. We should not put our faith in reason. But we're not called to reject reason either. We can take God's word and use reason to live so much of our life. Reason is a tool that God has given us. We're commanded to seek wisdom. We're commanded to seek understanding. God has given us a mind with reason. So today, as I navigate these things, knowing that God wants us to walk by faith, knowing that God wants our church to walk by faith, but also knowing there are many things that this world would deem as unreasonable, that my mind would like to label as unreasonable, my attention is drawn to an aspect of God that I cannot forget. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, we read this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The New Living Translation translates like this, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways," look at this, "are far beyond anything you could imagine." Today I stand here and declare there is a third perspective. Faith doesn't have to be bound by reason, but faith doesn't have to be categorically unreasonable either. God has given us another option, and this option is both the title of my message today and what I want to declare over our church, and that is faith beyond reason. I believe that we serve a God that is not unreasonable, but our faith can take us beyond reason. There are some things that we will never comprehend, that we will never grasp, that we will never be able to do in our own might, but I can have faith that goes beyond my reasoning to say, Lord, if I will just operate in faith, you can do what I cannot do. Where my reason ends, you can go beyond. I don't reject reason, but my faith can go beyond reason. There's a faith beyond reason. I'm preaching faith beyond reason. You know what? It's not reasonable that Harold Hoffman would call Daniel Bernard, whom he did not have a multiple decade relationship with, and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's God's will for this church. That's not reasonable. You know what it is? It's beyond reason. It's beyond reason that I'm standing here today as your pastor, but I'm not afraid of it. I'm standing in confidence. Why? Because my faith goes beyond my reason. My faith goes beyond my ability to comprehend. I'm preaching faith beyond reason. Faith beyond reason. Reason would say that everything that has happened to us up until this point would be enough to break us. But reason would say we should be set back by multiple years. Reason would say that there's many things that we should stop or desist or pause or just wait. But I'm here today to tell you that I have a faith beyond reason, that I want to lead this church with faith that goes beyond reason to say, yes, the enemy tried his best. Yes, the enemy tried to take us out. Yes, the enemy tried to set us back. But by God's grace and through the word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can have faith that goes beyond my reasoning. I can have faith that goes beyond my comprehension and say, you know what? By faith, we're stepping forward. We're moving forward. Why? Because faith goes beyond reason. Faith beyond reason. And you know, reason would like to make obstacles of practical things and make them look like spiritual signs. Reason would love to make things that are in the natural that may seem like obstacles look spiritual. But I believe there's even some things that God does in the practical to show us his hand. You know what? It's not reasonable that we would sell our home in St. Louis in one day and find the perfect home for us cheaper than we could imagine. That's not reasonable. I know that may seem like a small thing to you, but it's not reasonable that we'd be able to transfer here and get immediately to the work that God has called us to do. That's not reasonable. You know what it is? That's beyond reason. Only God can do something like that. When I look at every minute detail of what he is doing, I don't see just perfect human reasoning. I see something through the midst that goes beyond reason. Faith beyond reason. Faith beyond reason. Yes, we have faced challenges. Yes, we are facing challenges even now, working on our new building. But when I look to God, he reminds me, whatever you can imagine, I can go beyond. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. In Hebrews 11, he writes of all these examples of faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Esau, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. And then he says, I don't have time to tell you of the other ones. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. He goes on and on. But I want to look at some of these today because there's some amazing things that go just under the surface of this idea of just faith alone and the way we like to perceive it. In Hebrews 11 and 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. There's something amazing about this, and I don't have time to go into it, but we understand that this is obviously before Jesus, this is before Mosaic law, but even here yet, there was something that Adam and Eve passed down to Cain and Abel, that they understood that they had to bring a sacrifice for them to be worthy, for them to be receiving. But we see here that from the beginning of time, it wasn't just about the sacrifice. From the beginning of time, it has always been faith that separates our sacrifice. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So you know what? There's going to be times when we look at what we have and we say, you know what? This is not enough. This is not going to do it. This sacrifice can't be enough to produce what God needs for us to do. But I need you to understand today that it's always been faith that separates our sacrifice. It's not the sacrifice itself. It's the faith, and we can go beyond what we could ever ask or do. We understand that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. How? By faith. From the beginning, it has always been faith that separates our sacrifice. Will we get it perfect every time? No. Is it reasonable to think that what we offer God will be enough? No. It's not reasonable. It's beyond reason. It's beyond reason that God could take what we offer him and make something incredible out of it. That's the kind of faith beyond reason that I'm speaking about. If we continue reading Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It is not reasonable. It is not inside my comprehension that God would cheat death. But we need to understand that even with God, this man could skip over death. And that when it's in the will of God, there are things in your life that you may just have to skip over. Death may be something that he was afraid of. But God said, because you have been found faithful, because you're a man that has loved me, then I'm going to just allow you to skip this portion of your life entirely. So guess what? It's not reasonable that God should allow you to skip through some things. But we see that we have faith beyond reason. There may be some difficulties in your life that God allows you just to skip over entirely. And that's what I'm talking about. Faith beyond reason. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah built an ark with no water in sight. It was not reasonable to build a boat with no way to get to water. It's not reasonable to build a boat when you don't need one. It's not reason that drove him. It was the voice of God, and it went beyond reason. You know what? We are building a building for things that have not happened yet. But we are declaring in Jesus' name that we are building not because of reason. It is not human reasoning that is driving us to build a building. It is beyond reason. It is faith beyond reason. When God says build, build by faith beyond reason. God says to build, we're going to build beyond reason. I can't quite tell you why. I can't quite tell you how it's all going to work, but I've got faith beyond reason. And if God says build, we're going to build and we will see it come to pass. I'm preaching faith beyond reason. Oh, can you just worship God with me? I want you to have a faith beyond reason for your family, beyond reason for your future. I know what reason says. We're not rejecting reason. We go beyond reason. When God says build, build by faith, beyond reason. Will there be things that stretch us? Yes. Will there be things that even our most diligent work will scare us, surprise us? Yes. But it's not a surprise to God. It's not a shock to him. We won't reject reason, but our faith goes beyond reason. Our God goes beyond reason. We are going to build a new building. I want to share the first portion of my vision for what's next with you. Let's imagine. Well, I recognize that some of the things that I'm going to share today may possibly normally happen in a business meeting of some sort, but I want to share my heart and my vision with you today. First of all, let me say thank you to this church. Thank you for being gracious to me as I've come into this brand new context. Just for a moment, put yourself in my shoes, knowing absolutely nothing about our finances, about plans in place, what has happened so far, financial projections, relationships, schedules, all the things I had to give myself a crash course education on. Because of that transition, as me coming into this, there's many things we are previously poised for, and I placed a temporary necessary pause on some of the things that we were doing until I could do three things. Number one, understand who all had been involved in making the decisions up until this point. Number two, understand what process was in place for the decision making of our church. And number three, have a record of what decisions were made, who was at the table of these decisions, and what needed to be done next. And I just want to also just say today that the way I want to lead our building program moving forward is I promise that I will do everything with my power to be completely transparent with this church on every aspect of our building program, what's happening, what we're doing, and what has transpired. I want to lead with transparency, and I want you to know everything that's happening. So today I want to just peel back the curtain a little bit and be very open and honest with our church body. After an initial review, I felt like it would be best to create a more transparent and accountable system for decision making. And with that in mind, we have put together a building committee that will now oversee all major decisions that will happen. And I'm going to list this building committee will be comprised of our elder board and some additional individuals. And I didn't really prep them for this, but if you're here today, I want you just to stand really quickly. These people are Brother Steve Netto, Brother Greg Vandewater, Brother Gary Williams, Brother Makito Mori, Brother Andrew Hill, in addition, Brother Jeremiah Gibbs and Brother Eric Vandewater, my wife and myself. This is our building committee that is going to oversee every aspect of the decision-making process for Let's Imagine moving forward. And I'm so excited for that. Thank you. In addition to this committee, there will be points of input from many different levels of our leadership in our church. The wives of those serving on the building committee are going to have input at key points. Our pastoral team is going to have insight into these key points in other meetings. Sister Hoffman and those that have been involved before are going to have key moments of input. People that are in departmental leadership are going to have points of input. And a church body as a whole, there will be times where we come together and we speak about things happening. But as you can imagine, if we tried to get 45 people in a room to make a decision about a paint color or something, we just would not happen. So out of this, and all the husbands, I'm just kidding. And so out of this, we understand, though, that there's going to be other subcommittees. There's going to be things that happen. There's going to be people that are subject matter experts in different areas of construction that we will call upon you in this church to help us and advise us. But I wanted you to have a very open awareness about who is going to be making some of these building decisions. And again, if your name is not on that list, there's many people that have been brought to me. And so there's going to be additional people that will have, at key moments, levels of input that will be, I think, a benefit to our church body in the process moving forward. Our budget. The church has been faithfully giving. You have been giving abundantly, sacrificially, and I know that you're still doing so, and we need you to do so. As you well know, since the launch of Let's Imagine, our economy has been extremely volatile. The cost of materials, times needed to get materials, labor, everything has risen and fluctuated beyond many of the normal economic projections. While this is not going to stop us from building, it does cause us to take a closer look at the impact of the economy on our project. So with that in mind, we are currently working with the United Pentecostal Stewardship Group to look at our projections to our budget to what we currently have to see how accurately we are currently forecasting our building project. This is a review. You can look up the United Pentecostal Church. They have a loan fund, a stewardship group, and they've closed many, many loans, and they are very keenly aware specifically of Pentecostal churches because our finances are very different than other denominational churches. We have other financial institutions that we're working with as well to get some other opinions, but after this review has been completed with the stewardship group and our building committee, I will bring a report to our church. We are also looking at the long-term needs of our church and how it impacts the layout space, square footage of our building. Under some of the preliminary drawings, a sanctuary for 600 people have been considered. But I believe, and I want to tell you this today, and our elder board agrees, that we need to consider a sanctuary with a seating capacity for more like 800 people with the possibility of expansion. That's where I believe we need to go. In Jesus' name. I believe that we need to begin to look bigger. I know it may not be reasonable today to say that we need a sanctuary of 800 with the ability to expand, but today I am preaching. I have a faith that goes beyond reason, that I believe we're going to fill a sanctuary of 800 and we're going to need to do some more things. So I want to know if there's anybody today that would declare that with me, that, you know what, I stand with you, Pastor, 600 is not enough. We need more room. We need more capacity. We need more ability to grow this church and build these people. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. We need a sanctuary seating capacity closer to 800 with the possibility of expansion. That, along with the needs in our children's ministry that continues to grow, is causing us to relook at the layout and the programming of our building. Many things are getting a second look to understand, what do we need now? What do we need now than these current projections? Timeline. Before my arrival, there was a timeline that had already been tentatively put in place, but obviously, as you can understand with the pastoral transition, some of those things, were there was cause to change some of that. But right now, currently, with the formation of the building committee, my desire to finalize a thorough review of our budget and the need to readdress our programming needs, I do not quite have enough information to give you a new projection for groundbreaking. Although I wish that I could stand here today and do so, I hope you understand my desire is to be transparent and open with our church, and that desire supersedes my desire to just give you a date without the information necessary to make that prediction accurate. There's many things that I wish I could say, you know what, here's the timeline, here's exactly what's going to happen, here's what we're going to do. But I don't have those things yet. But what I do, what I want to do is pull back the curtain and let you know the process that is going to unfold moving forward and how we're making decisions and who is speaking to that, so that you have clarity on what's happening and how decisions are being made. And in all of this very necessary, all of these things I'm mentioning, I know this is different. I know this is different, but all of this, in the midst of this practical, business-like, if you will, process of building a building, I want to stand here today and tell you that this vision is not about a building at all. This vision has never been about a building. This vision has always been and will always be about people. This vision has always been about souls. Yes, we're going to build a new building. But let me tell you something right now, in the midst of everything we're doing, if we lose sight of the souls, we've lost sight of everything. So do I want to build a new building? Yes, I do. But if we don't win souls, it's all for nothing. So today, more important than a beautiful building is the fact that our vision is people. It's souls. It's the people that are not here yet, whose names we do not know. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're building. If we build the most beautiful building in our district, if we build the most beautiful building in Sterling Heights, and we cut the red ribbon and everyone applauds us, but we don't win souls, we've missed the mark. We've missed it. If this building, if right here within these four walls is the only time and place that people are discipled, we missed the mark. The church is not a building, the church is people. This building, let's imagine, is a tool that God wants to use to build people. It's not about a building. It's not about bigger and better. It's about people. Yes, we're going to build a bigger building. Yes, God is going to give us resources, but that's just a tool that God wants to use so that we can handle the revival that he's sending us. With that in mind, let's imagine Sundays are going to look a little different from now on. We've been celebrating every month on the first Sunday of the month the amount of money we've raised for Let's Imagine. I'm thankful, and we need it. And let me just say, those of you that have been giving, I know you've been giving sacrificially. That happened even before I was here. Thank you for doing so. We need you to continue to give. I need you to continue to give sacrificially. I believe that God has called us to do something big in our city, and I believe that vision is getting bigger and bigger. But I truly believe with a faith that goes beyond reason that God is big enough to see it come to pass. And if you're a part of First Church and you haven't joined, let's imagine, and you're a part of our church, we need you to get on board because we need you, because you're a part of this vision. And if you're a guest here today and you're saying, oh, here it comes, the preacher's going to start talking about money, I knew it, this is what churches do. Let me tell you, if you're a guest here today, no, I'm not asking you for money. I'm standing here telling you that the reason we're doing Let's Imagine is for you. The reason we're doing this is for you and your family and your friends and your children, that you can have a place to worship, that you can come on a Sunday and you can invite people. We're doing this for you. Let's Imagine is for you. So welcome. I know you're new. Welcome to what we're doing, because this Let's Imagine campaign is for you. This is not a money church, it's a kingdom church. This is a church where we give God everything. We're radical here. We give God our time. We give God our families. We give God our money. We lay it all at his feet and say, God, it's about your kingdom, not my kingdom. I'm not building a kingdom lowercase k. I'm trying to help build the kingdom uppercase K. It's not just about what happens here at First Church Sterling Heights. It's what's happening at churches all across our district, all across the world. We're part of a global church, and thank God we're a part of it. Thank God we can be a piece of the puzzle, but it's not about us. It's about his kingdom and his glory and his honor, and it's about souls. I'm preaching faith beyond reason. Faith beyond reason. So Let's Imagine Sundays are going to look a little different. There are some metrics that we're going to celebrate that I want to bring to you. Yes, we have crossed the $4 million mark of money raised, and I'm so thankful for that. But I want to share some other numbers with you that are just as weighty, and some other numbers that honestly I may get a little bit more excited about. As you've seen, we're not only raising money for Let's Imagine, but this church supports works around the world in different things. We support people in our church in times of need through our benevolence fund. We give to North American missions to support new church plants. We give to multicultural ministries. We give to global missions. We have every heart restored out of our church. We give to our district. We just gave to the Carvers, missionaries in Papua New Guinea. So you may say, well, shouldn't we be saving all of our money for Let's Imagine? This is a time of greatest need. Sure, we're being good stewards. Every cent is accounted for, and we track every dollar. We're working diligently to budget everything. But let me share something with you that I've learned in my life, and I've seen over and over and over. When I'm up against a challenge, when I'm up against a financial obstacle, I look to God, and I give my way out. I give my way out. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm trying to model something that I believe is so biblical. And here we are, faith and reason. Reason says, oh, we should be a good steward, and I am. Reason says, oh, we should save all our money for Let's Imagine. Reason says we should stop giving to all other efforts outside of here, because we need to keep it here to make sure that we can build what we need to build. And yes, there's a lot of reason there, and faith doesn't reject reason. We don't spend money blindly. It's not a blind faith, but I believe that God has called us to a faith beyond reason. Are we going to run into a financial wall at some point in our building project? Absolutely. Are we going to have a board meeting when we say, you know what, I wish that we maybe wouldn't have given that? Yes, we will absolutely have those moments. Are there going to be times where we're going to question, you know what, what's this reason? And are we being financially responsible? And there, you know, maybe we should have done this instead of that. Yes, those times will absolutely come. But let me tell you that I truly believe in a God that goes beyond reason. I believe with God that we can go beyond what we can see in the natural. So as a leader, when I face hardship, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give. You know what my plan is to build a new building? I'm going to give my way into a new building. This church, we're going to give our way into a new construction of a building. Do we need the money? Absolutely. But are we going to stop giving now? No, we're not going to stop giving. I know that may sound unreasonable to you, but I believe in a faith that goes beyond my reasoning. So you know what I want to tell you? I want to give you a number. So far this year, we have given $46,865.16 to missions work outside of these four walls. That's people that we may never know or meet, but that's people that are being restored in the name of Jesus. Their hearts are being restored. Sister Talisha, those are people in Papua New Guinea that you'll never meet, but we're a part of something big, and we're going to say, God, we're going to give our way out of everything we're in. We're going to give our way out of every problem. That's not reasonable. No, that's beyond reason. And we're going to keep giving. And we're going to keep giving, and we're going to keep giving. And I can get excited about the money we've raised. I can get excited about the money that we've given. But you want to hear a number that gets me more excited than both of those? I want to tell you today that so far this year, to what we can track, we have had 12 people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the very first time with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And let me give you another number that I love.
So far this year, we have baptized 30 people in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. You want to see me get excited? That's a number I'm getting excited about. You want to see me jump and celebrate? That's a number I'm going to celebrate. Why? Because that's the vision. The vision is people. The vision is souls. In Jesus' name. Can we thank God for 30 people baptized in Jesus' name? 12 people born again of the Spirit. Oh, I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful. You know what that number is? If my math is right, we so far have had about 36 weeks of this year. Pastor John, that's one person every single week baptized in Jesus' name. I declare that that is going to be a trend that doesn't stop now. How amazing would it be for us to declare every week we're going to baptize somebody in the precious name of Jesus, not just in the new building. I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about in a couple of years when it happens. No, I'm talking about revival now. I'm talking about it now. Why? Because my faith goes beyond reason. That's why we're building. That's why we're raising money. That's why we're doing what we're doing. 12 people filled with the Holy Spirit. 30 people baptized in Jesus' name. Oh God, let these be the numbers that are etched in our spirit. Let these be the numbers, God, as we give sacrificially, God, as someone gives in their offering, God, when they could give it to something else. God, when someone gives their Let's Imagine offering, I pray they can see those numbers in their spirit. 30 people, a person every week. These waters are full. These waters are full of people. Their sins being remitted. I'm so thankful. Those are the numbers we need to cling to. That is beyond reason, church. That is beyond reason. Hebrews 11 and 8, we continue by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. It's amazing to me. There's a lot of things, as I've already told you, there's a lot of stuff that I don't have the answers for yet. You could probably ask me a question about our building program, and my construction knowledge would fail me. There's aspects of this program that I do not know yet. I'm doing the best I can. I'm reading a lot of architectural things. I've gotten some weird college-level architectural books that I'm working my way through, and man, they're boring, and I do not like them. But you know what? I'm learning what all those different things are, and I'm educating myself. But you know what? There's a lot of things I don't know. But you know what I do know? When I look at Abraham, he was called out to go, to leave his homeland, to go somewhere else. And you know what? He didn't even know where he was going. But what does it say? It says, by faith, Abraham went. So I want to tell you, when God says go, go. Go by faith, even if you don't have all the answers. No, we don't have all the answers. No, we don't have all the solutions. But we're not going to stop. We're going to move forward. Because what I do know is when we need an answer, God will provide. When we need a solution, God will give it to us. So by faith, we're going to go. Pastor, how will we do this? By faith. How can we be sure? By faith. At the end of the day, look what it says in verse 10. For he looked for a city with hatched foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let that be said about us. This is not a blind journey. This is a journey knowing that when you're in God's will and his timing, he will give you the answers at the right time. Look at verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I want to tell somebody today, through faith, God will give you strength even when it seems like the time has passed. I know this process is taking longer than you thought. I know there are aspects that we're thinking, oh, have we missed a window? Is there something that we should have done? But today I stand here and say that, you know what? If I want to see the promises of God come to pass, then what I need to do is what Sarah did. Because the Bible says that she judged him faithful who had promised. So today I'm telling you, stop asking God about the promises. Oh God, when are you going to do it? What's going to happen? How are we going to see it? What are we going to do? We don't know what to do. We need to stop asking about what he promised and remember who promised it to us. It says that Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. So today I don't have the answers. Do you know what I do have? I have a faithful God. I have a God that's been faithful. So even when it seems like the time is past, God can step in and say, with man, it is impossible. Sarah, it was not reasonable for Sarah to have a child. But with God, with faith beyond reason, he said, you will conceive. You will conceive. And from you, there will be descendants across the earth. That's faith beyond reason. St- stop asking God about what he has promised and remember who promised it. Hebrews 11:17, the New Living Translation says it like this. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Isn't this incredible? God gave him the promise he had waited for, and then he asked for it back. He asked for a sacrifice. Guess what? There's going to be a time when you will be tested of God. After God has done amazing things, you will be tested. You will be tried. Look at verse 19. It says, Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, he was even saying, if Isaac died, God is able to bring him back to life again. Isn't it interesting? Abraham reasoned. Think about it. What kind of reasoning is that? You gave me the son. Now you're asking me to literally kill him. Well, I guess the only solution left, because you told me, I know what you promised me. You said descendants will come from him. So the only thing I got left is that you're going to bring him back from the dead. Right? What kind? That's not reasoning. That's not human reason. That's faith beyond reason. But because he had faith beyond reason, God did a miracle. So what can I see from that? When you are tested by God, give by faith, and he will provide. We have to understand that today. There was a time when Abraham said, oh God, if you've asked this of me, you know what? I don't see in my own mind. Abraham reasoned, well, this doesn't make sense to me. Why would you ask this of me, God? I thought this was the way you had promised me it would happen. And I know this church, you've been in that seat before to say, God, why is this happening? I thought this was the way it was going to happen. I thought this is the way it was going to play out. But when we are tested by God, we've got to give by faith. And if we're willing to give by faith, God will always provide for us. I'm preaching faith beyond reason. I'm preaching to give beyond reason. Why? Because God will provide. It will never be enough. What we do will never be enough. My knowledge will never be enough. My expertise will never be enough. But with God, we can do everything that he has purposed that we will do. Why? Because I've got faith beyond reason. I want to tell you what we're doing right now. By faith beyond reason. Right now, the challenge is not revival. The challenge is not new souls. Right now, the challenge is our facilities and our systems, as you well know, because we're building a new building. But I'm not talking about a new building. I'm talking about right now. I want to tell you that we're going to build people. We are working on right now leadership development and a system to develop leaders and ministry within our church and within you. And you're going to be hearing more about that in the next few weeks, but I want to tell you that you need to buckle up. If God has ever spoken to you in the past about being in ministry, whether that's in what we would consider a ministry like you see me or other people doing, or just serving or doing something, I'm telling you that the time is now, because the issue has never been the harvest. The issue has always been the laborers. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we need people. You know why? We need more people serving. We've got to have more people serving. We need more people serving in ministry. We need more people serving in the nursery. They can correct me if I'm wrong, but on our back to school bash Sunday, I believe that we had 97 children in our children's wing. It's not that big over there, folks. If you've looked over there, it's not quite that big. We need more people serving in every aspect of our ministries. We need more people ministering. We need more people educated on how to work the altars. Why? I'm going to tell you another vision point that I have. I believe in Jesus' name with the power of the Holy Spirit. I have a vision for us to have 500 people in this sanctuary during two services on a Sunday. I'm not talking about the new building. I'm not talking about in several years. I'm talking about right now. I believe God is going to send a revival. I believe God is going to send us people, and we will see a Sunday where it is a commonplace experience that 500 people are crammed into this building to find their way to Christ, to find their way to baptism, to find their way to the Holy Spirit. But we need laborers. We need people engaged and involved and doing everything they can to serve those that are coming. I believe God is sending the people, but we have to be wise. Faith and reason are not enemies. Faith beyond reason says, get ready, God's going to do it. But reason is a companion that causes us to act.
Right now, our facilities and systems cannot facilitate 500 people on a Sunday. You know, if you've got children, you know it's crammed. This is our second service. We've already done this service once before. And if you tried to bring a family of 5 or 10 people, it'd be tough to find a seat right now. So I want to announce to you that right now, we are working on renovating this sanctuary from pews to chairs, including new carpet. Why would we do this? Because we believe that with chairs, we can add 75 seats in this sanctuary. And there's a reason behind that. It's not just to have good stuff. Why am I saying this? I'm saying that there are souls that are coming, and we've got to do everything that we can to be ready for their arrival. So we're not waiting to the new building. We're not waiting to build. We're acting now. Why? Because revival is now. God is not waiting to send us revival. He's sending it now. So we need chairs. We need a new facility. Yes, we need a new building, but we need something now. That's faith beyond reason. Faith beyond reason. Oh, can you praise God with me today? 500 people on a Sunday. In Jesus' name, can you declare that with me? Can you just begin to have some faith with me? Let your faith rise. It's going to happen. God is sending it. The question is not, are the people coming? The question is, are we ready? I have faith beyond reason. I have faith beyond reason. We need the room. Why are we doing this? The people. Yes, we're going to be financially responsible. Yes, we're going to scrutinize every expenditure, but we need the room now. I don't want to wait for a new building. I want to act now because there are people that need to get here now. There are people that come through on drive-through prayer that desperately need to hear from the Lord. There are people that may be trying to find a seat and they're uncomfortable, so they don't know what to do. Our Sunday school is packed. Sister Bianca, I've seen a picture of her. She's holding two babies. She's got two, just standing there around each leg, and she's trying to throw snacks at them. I'm talking about right now. It's happening. It's happening. This is not just a dream or just a vision. I'm talking about right now. But for us to see it, for us to accomplish it, you got to have faith that goes beyond reason. Because reason would say, well, let's just wait and God's going to send the new building. But I have a faith that goes beyond reason, that says we don't reject reason, but we just go beyond reason. Going beyond reason says we're going to do it now because we need it now. And we've got to have people now. I'm coming to a close. Musicians can come. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. New Living Translation says he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. I recognize today that we cannot sacrifice our great reward, our eternal reward, for a seasonal, deadly reward. Yes, living for God may not be living in the lap of luxury. Yes, it means giving into his kingdom, but I would rather suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of this world if it meant separation from him. By faith, they pressed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And Hebrews 11:32, the writer says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me. But I'm going to tell you some more. I'm going to, if I can, I don't mean this to add to scripture, but I think I can write a little bit more in here. You know what I want to say? By faith, First Church believed God, in spite of what the story the devil wanted to tell. By faith, First Church kept believing. By faith, First Church kept giving. By faith, we had 12 people that have received the Holy Ghost so far this year. By faith, we have seen 30 people be baptized in Jesus' name. By faith, we're going to continue to raise funds for a new building. By faith, we're going to add chairs into the sanctuary because God is sending the people. By faith, we're going to imagine. By faith, we're going to build a new building. By faith, we're going to see what Pastor Hoffman saw in his mind and his spirit come to pass. But it's going to happen only if we have faith beyond reason. Stand with me today. I want to share something with you out of a journal entry. I love digital things. I love technical things, but I love it so much I get distracted by them. So sometimes I got to have an analog. So I write in a journal. This journal occupies June 2023 to July 2024. Some stuff may fall out. I got my daughter's road. I got just notes, everything. But I want to share an entry with you. And you got to understand where this is in the timeline of my life. Monday, April 15th. This is after talking to Pastor Hoffman, but this is before being here. So Monday, April 15th, I wrote, stayed home today, got coffee with Kaylee and Bubba. That was the first thing they did in the journal. Talked to Sister Hoffman. Long conversation with Sister Hoffman. Talked to my father. Advice about how to respond. It says short conversation with Draylen. I don't know what we talked about, but they had been here. But I wrote three words. I was praying. We had come back home from getting coffee, and I was just praying. And the Lord, I didn't really know exactly what. I put a star by it, which means this might be a sermon thought or something. But anytime I felt something in prayer, something inspired, there were just these three words. And again, this is April 15th. Maybe go back in your calendar and look at all what was happening. Three words were this: God said, go. God said, go. I wrote, the Lord gave me this around 10:45 a.m. today when I was in prayer. I wrote, many men have been called, but it has never been about the men. I wrote under that 3 points: moments, men, mission. I wrote some names that I thought about: Gideon, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Joshua. But this is what the Lord laid in my heart, and this is what I want to share about today. I'm so excited about what God is doing. As you can tell, I'm so excited. But you know what? This is not about me. This can't be about me. This can't be about making me look good. Because you know what the truth is? When I zoom out to the perspective of time, I recognize that my life is just a brief and tiny moment in time. My life is just a brief, just, and it's gone. When I recognize that, that's not morbid to me. You know what I say? I say, Lord, I know that my life is but a vapor, but a short moment. So God, please, in the moment that I have, I want to align myself with your mission, because God calls men for a moment to a mission. So you are here in this moment in time, I believe ordained by God to see this new building built. Think about that with me. Think about in the expanse of eternity, God deemed it me worthy enough to be here with you for this moment. It causes me to say, God, this moment can't be about me. Because if it's about me, I've missed it. If it's about me, I will make this moment so small. If I make it about my ability, I will shrink this God moment to something so insignificant. But what I do know is that God allowed me to be here for this moment. And if he allowed me to be here, I want to do everything I can to be on mission. And let me just pause and speak to, if you're a guest here today, I know this is a lot of stuff for our church, but let me just tell you, I don't mean this in a bad way, but your life is just a moment. It's just a vapor. It's just a small moment in time. What are you doing with your life? I believe that you're here today. You're here to intersect with the Spirit of God. The reason we're talking about all of these things is because we serve a God that can change your life radically. Today, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, I'm saying today is your moment. This may be the moment that God ordained for you to step foot in this place and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And everything you've ever done, every sin you've ever committed, will be washed under his blood. You can be filled with his Holy Spirit. That's available for you here today. But to our church, I hope you're excited about the vision of what God's doing. But today I want to tell you, we just have a moment. We just have a brief moment. What are you going to do with your moment? I don't want to waste mine. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste it. So what I would like for us to do now is I would like for us to find a place to pray and just recommit ourselves to God, to say, God, I want to be sold out to your vision, not for me, not for Pastor Bernard, not for my fame, not for my glory. If that's why we're doing it, we've missed it. We've missed it. This is a moment for us to say, God, we lay it at your feet.
We lay it at your feet. You've told us to go. I'm calling for us to have a faith beyond reason. Yes, we're going to have obstacles. Yes, we're going to have challenges. But by the power of God, we're going to build a building that will outlast all of our lives. When you and I are gone from this earth, there will be a building in Sterling Heights where the word of God is preached, where people's lives are transformed. But it's not going to happen if we don't manage our moment correctly. So would you come, church, and pray? Would you dedicate yourself to this moment and say, Lord, I want to give myself to have faith beyond reason. I know reason would tell you, oh, you can't give that. I know reason would say, oh, you've got too many financial burdens. You've got too many things. But faith beyond reason says, God, if I give it to you, I will always have enough. When you give, it's one thing that the more you give, the more you have. When you give to the Lord and His kingdom, He will supply your needs. So right now, would you find a place to pray? If you'd like to be baptized in Jesus' name, please come see me. We will baptize you today, and you can be baptized in the body of Christ. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being a part of this vision. In the name of Jesus, God, let us use our moment well on this earth, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus, help us, God. Help us, God. Faith beyond reason. Faith beyond reason. Pray with me today. Believe with me today. Have faith beyond reason.